Today is the 2nd of November 2025, and you are tuned to amateur radio station ZSX SRL. Coming up shortly, Amateur Radio Today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you may be listening to us. This is Amateur Radio Today, a program of news, views and interviews about amateur radio, shortwave listening and technology. Amateur Radio Today is produced and presented by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenendaal, ZS6 Alpha Kilo Vector, and the program comes to you from the capital city of South Africa, Pretoria. It is first broadcast on a Sunday at 8 hours UTC, 10 hours local time, on 7115 kHz and many repeaters around South Africa. A podcast version can be listened to and can be downloaded from www.mzsa.org.za. We start our program, as usual, with the SRL News Bulletin. First, the news headlines with Herman Erasmus.
In the news today, SARL awards and trophies. Diarise the date for the 2026 SARL Technical Symposium. And RAE News. Stay tuned for more information on these and other important news items. We start this bulletin with news of a silent key. It is with deep regret that we must announce that Gus Winter, ZS2 Mike Charlie, became a silent key on Monday, 27 October 2025. Gus was a member of the Port Elizabeth Amateur Radio Society for many years and joined the SARL in 1985. We extend our sincere condolences to his family and friends. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. The nomination forms for the various SARL awards and trophies are available from the SARL website, as are the forms for submitting a motion or a point of discussion at the 2026 AGM. Visit mysarl.org.za/SARL-AGM-2026 to get the forms. Please complete the forms and obtain all the required signatures on one document. The closing date for award nominations, motions and points of discussion is midnight on Saturday, 31 January, and they must be sent only to secretary@sirl.org.za. The 2026 SARL Technical Symposium will be held on Saturday, 11 April 2026, with the theme Amateur Radio, a Technology Experience with No Limits. The symposium will be presented virtually on the AMSAT SA WebEx video conference platform, allowing national and international participation. Technology has been part of amateur radio from its early years and has followed a journey of innovation in all aspects of communication. The 2026 SARL Technical Symposium will focus on developments over recent years and what may lie ahead. Proposals for papers are now invited. Presentations are typically 30 minutes long, followed by a 10-minute question and answer session. Longer slots can be arranged. Send a short summary of the proposed presentation in an MS Word document to sirlsymp2026@amateurradio.org.za by 30 January 2026. This week, 250 Mark III AMSAT SA dual band Yagis are en route to the USA. They will soon be available from the ARRL. The Mark III Yagi has a split reflector element, allowing for a shorter, more convenient carry bag. The antenna is also available in South Africa. For more information and how to order, visit www.amsatsa.org.za. Delivery is via Postnet to Postnet. Door-to-door courier is also available at a slightly higher cost. RAE News. All successful candidates from the October Radio Amateur Examination who submitted their documents have had their license applications filed with ICASA. This was confirmed by the SARL RAE manager, Donovan van Lochrenberg, ZS2 Delta Lima. ICASA has committed to issuing the licenses as soon as possible. Once the SARL receives them, they will be emailed to the candidates. Candidates are reminded that the SARL agreement with ICASA allows new operators to go on the air as soon as they receive their exam results and call signs, even before the license document arrives. The SARL has also received a letter of appreciation from the newly accredited group in the West Rand. Writing on behalf of the candidates, Reginald Nolan, ZS6 November Alfa Romeo, thanked the SARL and the RAE manager for their support and professionalism throughout the process. He wrote, "We are sincerely grateful for the guidance and dedication shown during our RAE journey. The SARL's clear communication, mentorship and commitment to excellence made the process smooth and inspiring. We gained not only the required knowledge, but confidence and pride in joining the amateur radio community." He continued, "From the first assessments to the marking and communication of results, Donovan van Lochrenberg, ZS2 Delta Lima, provided fast responses, steady support, and excellent organization. His efforts ensured a seamless experience and a rapid turnaround of results. We are deeply appreciative." You're listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. Club News. Get ready to trade! The West Rand Amateur Radio Club boot sale is back. Mark your calendars. The next West Rand boot sale is happening on Saturday, the 8th of November. It is the perfect opportunity to snag those hard-to-find components, sell your excess gear, or just socialize with fellow radio enthusiasts. At 10 a.m, gates open for pedestrians. Come grab a refreshment, socialize, and scope out the best spots before the trading frenzy begins. At 11:30, vendors are welcome to set up shop. Get your tables ready for the crowds. Want to sell? Book your stand and table in advance to secure your spot. Do not miss out. For stand bookings and more information, email info@zs6wr.co.za. See you there. Contest news. Did you participate in the first ever DX Marathon Sprint held between 18 and 27 October? The deadline for your log submissions is today, Sunday, the 2nd of November. Go to entry.dxmarathon.com and submit. For more information, contact Mark WC3W@dxmarathon.com. Where are all the new radio amateurs? Yes, you who wrote the October RAE. On Saturday, 15 November, you can participate in the second leg of the SARL Newbie Contest. This is a contest especially for new radio amateurs. Go to mysarl.org.za/contest-resources and download a copy of the 2025 Contest Manual or the Blue Book and read more about the Newbie Contest. Have fun in your first contest. The results of the ZS1 Gearwiz O party have been held back following an inquiry about a missing log. As soon as the updated results are received, it will be published in SARL News and HF Happenings. 7 logs were received for the second leg of the Early Morning Coffee QSO party, held on Wednesday, 8 October. First, Daniel Hubbard, ZS5 Juliet Romeo, 78 points. Second, Wally Lawrence, ZS6 Whiskey November Lima, 60 points. Third, Roy Walsh, ZS1 Yankee Romeo, 29 points. The combined result of the two legs, first, Daniel Hubbard, ZS5 Juliet Romeo, 123 points. Second, Wally Lawrence, ZS6 Whiskey November Lima, 60 points. And third, Roy Walsh, ZS1 Yankee Romeo, 50 points. The full set of results can be found in HF Happenings 1170. No propagation report was received. The news@sarl.org.za email is not working as it should, and Honus, ZS6 Bravo Zulu Papa, is struggling to get the report to the news team. The Diary of Events. 4 and 5 November, the Taurids Meteor Shower. 8 November, the Westrand Flea Market. 9 November, Remembrance Day. 11 November, Armistice Day. 15 November, the Newbie QSO Party. 17 and 18 November, the Leonids Meteor Shower. 22 November, the SARL Saturday 40 Meter Club Contest. To conclude our bulletin, here is a recap of our main news story. The nomination forms for the various SARL awards and trophies are available from the SARL website, as are the forms for submitting a motion or a point of discussion at the 2026 AGM. Visit mysarl.org.za/SARL-AGM-2026 to get the forms. Please complete the forms and obtain all the required signatures on one document. The closing date for award nominations, motions and point of discussions is midnight on Saturday 31 January 2026, and they must be sent to secretary@sarl.org.za. This concludes our bulletin for this morning. We invite clubs and individuals to submit news items of interest to radio amateurs and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans, if possible, by uploading them at mysarl.org.za/news-inbox no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning for the weekly radio program Amateur Radio Today at 10 hours CAT. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and relayed on 7115 kHz LSB by Louis ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Cape Town, tune in at 10:30 CAT on the 145.7 MHz repeater via EchoLink to ZS1 Delta Charlie Charlie-R by Dave, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo. A rebroadcast by Andy, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee, can be heard on Monday evenings at 19:30 CAT on 3620 kHz. We welcome your signal reports, comments and suggestions. Please send them by email to artoday@sarl.org.za. You have listened to a news bulletin compiled by Kevin Berger, ZR2 Bravo Kilo, proofread and read by Harmony Rosmus, ZS6 Charlie Tango Alpha. From the news team, best wishes for the week ahead.
Thank you, Herman. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. We have, however, a space weather bulletin from SANSA at Hermanus, and it was dated 1st of November, and that was, of course, yesterday. Solar activity was low with background X-ray flux at B-class levels, with a few C-class flares observed during the past 24 hours. No significant flares were observed during this period. There are four sunspot regions on the visible solar disk with simple magnetic configurations. Solar wind speed remained at elevated to strong levels, with speeds ranging between 534 and 640 kilometers per second due to the ongoing high-speed stream influences from positive polarity coronal holes. There are several filaments and prominences on the visible solar disk that show slight movement and will be monitored for possible liftoffs. No Earth-directed coronal mass ejections were observed in the available coronagraph imagery during the past 24 hours. Geomagnetic conditions were at unsettled to active levels with a isolated G1 minus storm. It measured at KP 3 to 5. Local HF working frequencies are near the normal predicted values. So that was the report, and sorry that we couldn't bring Johannes' report, which will have more details about the amateur radio frequencies and so on. Listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL, we now go to the US for the weekly international news. Here is Newsline.
Reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kenford, N8WB.
As the Newsline went to production, Hurricane Melissa was still a developing story in the Caribbean. A Category 5 storm had already done catastrophic damage to parts of Jamaica as it continued its rampage through the region. The Hurricane Watch Net was active on 14.325 MHz and 7.268 MHz and advising all other traffic to avoid those frequencies. The VOIPWX.net was monitoring calls for help and Skywarn weather reports from impacted areas. Many reports came from the Caribbean Digital Amateur Radio Service and other amateur radio stations who relayed information from Jamaican news radio as well as local ham stations. Newsline will be following amateur response to the storm and its aftermath. Meanwhile, teams at two major U.S. universities have released a report revealing dangerous security issues with some sensitive satellite transmissions. We have details from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Using a commercially available satellite dish, a team of researchers at two U.S. universities confirmed the lack of security protecting the at-times sensitive content being broadcast from satellites. The teams at the University of Maryland and UC San Diego said that they easily tapped into geostationary satellite transponders, sending private consumer data, internal corporate communications, voice and SMS transmissions from mobile phones, and, perhaps the most disturbing, military transmissions that were particularly sensitive. The research teams released their findings on the 13th of October, and the contents were carried by the website Wired. They said the satellite's extreme vulnerability was discovered with the use of nothing more than off-the-shelf radio equipment that is widely available on the market. The teams concluded that at least half of the geostationary satellites carrying such data do not have effective encryption in place, leaving the contents of the transmissions accessible to hackers and others with the ability to monitor them. According to the report, the researchers alerted many of the satellite operators after the discoveries were made. They wrote in the report, quote, "In several cases, the responsible party told us they had deployed a remedy," end quote. They included Walmart, T-Mobile, and KPU. They note that remediation was still going on for other affected parties, and, as such, the team did not identify them in the report. In the meantime, they said end users are able to encrypt their network traffic via virtual private network and, on mobile devices, the use of end-to-end encryption apps. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The broadcast and the amateur radio worlds have often overlapped, especially sharing many of the same people behind the microphone or behind the scenes. In Latvia, hams are taking part in a celebration that marks 100 years of that nation's first radio station. Jeremy Boot G4NJH has those details.
The hams who are calling CQ as YL100LR until the 2nd of November are sharing the story of Rigas Radiophones, which went on the air in 1925 with a 2-kilowatt transmitter, two 45-meter-high antenna towers, and equipment purchased from France, from its studio inside a post office building in Riga City. The state-owned station began its life on the air with a 2-hour broadcast that included the Puccini opera Madame Butterfly and a speech by Minister of Transport J. Paulux. The evolution of radio broadcasting in Latvia is closely tied to that of amateur radio there. When the Latvian Radio Society helped create the Radio Subscribers Law, they created a category for radio experimenters who eventually became the nation's hams. From the start, they were big supporters of the newly created broadcast station. In fact, by 1926, a spare transmitter at the station was being used for ham radio communications. The relationship remains strong to this day, and many amateur radio operators in Latvia are also broadcast radio professionals. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Recognizing industry growth and student demand, a university in northern Washington state has developed a full electrical and computer engineering department on its campus, and it's being chaired by an amateur radio operator. We have those details from George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU. Newsline congratulates the team at the Radio Society of Great Britain's National Radio Center. They were selected for the 2025 Sir Arthur Clarke Education and Outreach Team Award for their work advancing knowledge into amateur radio satellite communications. The British Interplanetary Society conferred the award, which was accepted by RSGB General Manager Steve Thomas, M1ACB, NRC Coordinator Martin Baker, G0GMB, and NRC Volunteer Brian Hardy, G4BIP. Radio was precious to Orson Welles, the American writer, actor, magician, and filmmaker who is most prominently celebrated at this time of year for War of the Worlds, his 1938 science fiction broadcast depicting a Martian invasion, a drama so realistic that it incited panic in listeners. War of the Worlds was back on radio recently, but this time it was amateur radio, as Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us.
The fictional Martians may not have had their antennas tuned, but members of the Delaware Valley Radio Association did, as 16 operators called CQ for several hours in a public park in Grover's Mill, New Jersey, the site where the original broadcast radio drama played out in 1938. This was the club's fourth year hosting the event as station W0W, and it was timed to coincide with the original late October airing. There is a monument in the park honoring that broadcast, which put Grover's Mill on the map. But the ham's activation in the park may have left a lasting impression, too. Unlike the invading Martians, the visitors here came in peace. Cyclists participating in the township's Martian bike ride and other members of the public stopped by to get a close-up look at what amateur radio is all about. One young person even got on the air and logged one of the 159 QSOs that were made, according to Martin Crabtree, W3PR. Anyone saying, "Take me to your leader," would have been introduced, of course, to club president Martin. That's Martin, not Martian, who was outfitted appropriately in foil-covered fedora. Other hams wore antenna, but in this case, none of them were tuned for any transmissions except, perhaps, those from Mars. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
And that was international news from Newsline. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. Thinking back about that last story, it reminds me, you're in South Africa, and if you're young enough, you'll remember, or if you're old enough, I should say, you will remember the series on Springbok Radio called Mark Saxon, No Space to Hide, with his partner Sergei, and exploring to be out in space long before we had any activity in space. But those were days that you glued to the radio. You would never miss an episode. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today, and we continue our program, and we go to Cape Town for the Hamnet Report. Here is Dave Rees.
Melissa is the name on the lips of all weather watchers worldwide this weekend. Hurricane Melissa was being announced when I wrote last week's bulletin, and in the course of this week it has lived up to all gloomy predictions. By Tuesday the 28th, it was just southwest of the coast of Jamaica as a Category 5 hurricane with maximum wind speeds of 278 kilometers per hour, and made landfall later that day. It had already pulverized Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Bahamas, and Panama. It was forecast to move northeastward to Cuba on the 29th as a Category 2 storm with wind speeds of 167 kilometers per hour. More than 3 million people in the various countries had been displaced by the storm, though luckily fatalities were few and casualties relatively low. The Cuban Radio Amateur Federation activated its national emergency network on Monday in anticipation of the storm and requested all amateurs to keep clear of 7110 and 7120 kilohertz in the 40-meter band and 3720 and 3740 kilohertz in the 80-meter band so they could be used for emergency communications. The ARRL newsletter of Friday noted that Melissa is one of the most powerful Caribbean storms in recorded history. The Hurricane Watch Net was activated on Thursday afternoon, October the 30th, at 21 hours UTC. Frequencies being monitored and used there are on 20 meters, 14.325 megahertz upper sideband, starting at 21 hours UTC and operating until no longer required or at evening propagation loss. And on 40 meters, 7.268 megahertz lower sideband, starting at 23 hours UTC and operating until no longer required. The Voice over the Internet Protocol Hurricane Net was likely to activate once again at 21 hours UTC on Thursday for Hurricane Melissa and its passage by Bermuda. Radio Amateurs of Canada, RAC, has been actively monitoring Hurricane Melissa. RAC urges all Canadian amateur radio operators to protect the frequencies currently being utilized for disaster response on HF. That's high frequency, of course. Canada has extra reason to be monitoring this storm. Melissa is forecast to turn northeastward to travel up off the coast of the US, but potentially to threaten Newfoundland if it is still powerful when it gets there. And developingtelecoms.com notes that communications and technology provider Liberty Caribbean, which is part of Liberty Latin America, has announced a partnership with satellite communications company Starlink to support emergency communications on the storm-hit island of Jamaica. Liberty Caribbean has said it will utilize spectrum approved by the country's Spectrum Management Authority and the Ministry of Energy, Transport and Telecommunications to collaborate with Starlink Direct to sell to provide emergency connectivity for Liberty Caribbean customers in the event that its terrestrial networks are severely affected. Fizz.org/news says this week that researchers at Kyushu University have found that rising carbon dioxide levels in our atmosphere could lead to future disruptions in shortwave radio comms, including systems used for air traffic control, maritime communication, and radio broadcasting. Now, while we know that increasing carbon dioxide levels in our atmosphere cause global warming at Earth's surface, something different is happening in the ionosphere located 100 kilometers above sea level. Up there, it's cooling. Now, this cooling doesn't mean it's all good. It decreases the air density in the ionosphere and accelerates wind circulation, explains Professor Yuxin Liu of Kyushu University's Facility of Science, who led the study published in Geophysical Research Letters. These changes affect the orbit and lifespan of satellites and space debris, and also disrupt radio communications through localized small-scale plasma irregularities. One such irregularity is known as sporadic E, or ES, a phenomenon where a dense layer of metal ions forms at an altitude of 90 to 120 kilometers. As the name suggests, sporadic E is sporadic and difficult to predict. However, when it occurs, it can disrupt HF and VHF radio communications, continues Liu. Our results revealed that at high carbon dioxide levels, sporadic E tends to become stronger, occur at lower altitudes, and persist longer at night. Using a whole atmosphere model, Liu and her team developed simulations of the upper atmosphere under two different carbon dioxide concentrations, at normal concentrations of 315 parts per million, and then at 667 parts per million. And note that the average atmospheric carbon dioxide level in 2024 was about 422.8 parts per million. They then evaluated changes in vertical ion convergence, which is abbreviated to VIC, which drives sporadic E. Their simulations revealed that at higher atmospheric carbon dioxide levels, VIC is enhanced globally at altitudes of 100 to 120 kilometers. The sporadic E hotspots shift downward by approximately 5 kilometers, and their diurnal patterns change. Further investigation revealed that these changes were caused by lower atmospheric density and wind disturbances. Now, these findings are the first of their kind to show how increasing carbon dioxide affects the occurrence of sporadic E, revealing new insights into cross-scale coupling processes between neutral air and ionospheric plasma. In other words, they show how global climate-driven changes can impact small-scale plasma phenomena in space, explains Liu. Considering our findings, the telecommunications industry will need to develop a long-term vision that accounts for the impacts of global warming and climate change on its future operations. Global warming affects not just Earth, but extends well into space. There's just space in the bulletin this week to remind you of the Bouvet Island de-expedition planned for February 2026. Few places on Earth are as remote or as thrilling as Bouvet Island. Located deep in the South Atlantic Ocean and often battered by fierce winds and icy seas, it is one of the most isolated spots on the planet. Reaching it requires months of planning, physical endurance, and a daring spirit. For amateur radio operators, however, Bouvet represents something even greater, one of the final frontiers. It's amongst the most sought-after destinations in the DXCC program, offering the rarest of rare opportunities to make contact from a place believed to have been visited by fewer people than have traveled to space. This is not just another expedition. It's a test of human resolve, teamwork, and passion for radio's farthest reaches. At the center of this bold journey is Dennis Ward, Kilo Tango 8 X-ray, one of the co-leaders of the three Yankee Zero Kilo Bouvet Island de-expedition. For Dennis, leadership means more than managing equipment and airwaves. It's about ensuring the health, safety, and unity of a team venturing into an unpredictable environment. A veteran operator with a history of working stations worldwide, Dennis views this expedition as a way to give back to the amateur radio community, offering others the chance for that elusive final contact. Drawing on his experience as a two-time Ironman triathlete, he's training both body and mind for the rigors of Bouvet's extremes. There's danger, yes, he admits, but there's also the thrill of adventure and the reward of service. When the pileups begin, Dennis hopes to hear familiar call signs and share in the excitement of one of radio's greatest adventures. And hopefully we'll hear your call sign on HF early next year. The opportunity won't arise again for a long time. And thanks to marketscale.com for the short write-up. This is Dave Reese, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo, reporting for Hamnet in South Africa.
Thanks, Dave. And last story is particularly interesting and, daring too. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZS6 SRL. We cross to Durban for our weekly satellite report. Here is Dave Long.
Is AO7 still the oldest satellite? AMSAT Oscar 7, or AO7, is the second Phase 2 amateur radio satellite constructed by the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, or AMSAT, and it was launched into low Earth orbit on November 15, 1974, and remained operational until a battery failure in 1981. After 21 years of apparent silence, the satellite was heard again on June 21, 2002, 27 years after launch, and it continues to be used by amateurs daily, even now. For a couple of decades, AMSAT has been able to proudly boast that the Bird is the oldest operating satellite in space. However, that record has been challenged. After 47 years of silence, LES-1, a satellite launched by the US Air Force and MIT's Lincoln Laboratory in 1965, began transmitting again. Its signals were detected by Phil Williams, G3YPQ, from North Cornwall in southwest England on 18th of December 2012. Verified by other members of the HearSat group, Flavio AB Arcangelo, PY2ZX, in Brazil, and on the 22nd of December 2012, and Matthias Bopp, DD1US, in Germany on the 27th of December 2012. According to Williams, LES-1 was determined to be tumbling with a rotation rate of once every 4 seconds, as determined by distinctive fading of the signals. It is possible that after 47 years, the batteries failed in a manner that allows them to carry charge directly through the transmitter on 237 MHz, allowing the satellite to resume transmissions when it is in sunlight. The satellite continues to be operational as tracked by the SatNOGS network. Amateur radio receiver reveals global satellite privacy issues. Imagine that you can buy a device for a few hundred dollars and listen in on private conversations, military negotiations, and even intercept important commands for power systems around the world. This is not a scene from the spy movie, but harsh reality. The vulnerability was accidentally discovered by researchers from the University of California and the University of Maryland. For 3 years, they listened in on secret military and private communications. The result is astonishing. Almost half of all satellite transmissions were completely unencrypted. Analysis of the intercepted traffic showed that the following was transmitted over the airwaves. Private phone calls and SMS messages from T-Mobile customers, Wi-Fi data from aeroplanes, critical commands for managing power grids and oil platforms, and military and police reports revealing troop locations and details of secret missions. Governments and corporations rely on these systems, considering them to be reliably secure. In fact, the risks are much more serious than just a breach of confidentiality. This vulnerability can be used as a weapon to track troop movements, sabotage vital infrastructure, and steal data on a massive scale. The most disastrous aspect is that scientists analyzed only 15% of the total traffic, meaning that the actual scale of the problem could be much greater. Russian cosmonauts conduct spacewalk outside the ISS. Two Russian cosmonauts are back inside the International Space Station after conducting a spacewalk to install a semiconductor materials experiment, as well as retrieve and jettison a no longer needed camera from the exterior of the orbiting complex. Expedition 73 commander Sergei Ryzhkov and flight engineer Alex Zabrisky, both with Russia's Federal Space Corporation Roscosmos, marked the end of their first extravehicular activity, or EVA, together. Ryzhkov and Zabrisky installed the drum-shaped unit, ran power cables, and mounted a swappable cassette. The experiment is intended to demonstrate the ability to produce very thin materials, too thin to be made reliably on Earth, that can go from the microgravity environment of outer space to being used in semiconductors. Their primary task completed, Ryzhkov and Zabrisky then made their way to the Zvezda service module to remove and dispose of a high-definition television system that was originally a part of the Canadian commercial payload. Zabrisky then stood at the end of the European robotic arm and tossed the camera overboard towards the rear of the space station, ensuring it would not come back and make contact with the outpost. Now to some passes for today, Sunday the 2nd of November and all times in Central African time. The International Space Station, 1805 to 1816, SO50 or SAUDI SAT-1C, 1707 to 1720, and Chapisa Sat 1434 to 1446. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
And that was Dave Long, ZS5FR. You can listen to his report on the AMSAT SA website at www.amsatsa.org.za from Sunday afternoons. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL. We're back here in Pretoria, and Brian Jacobs is standing by with his focus on VHF and frequencies above. Brian?
There are now two Pico balloons in the air. ZSX SRC-29, launched on the 1st of October, appears as if this balloon has been lost. It was last heard on 25 of October over the southwestern Atlantic, in the mid 40 degrees south. ZSX SRC-30 with a 10-meter beacon was launched on the 11th of October and was last heard on the 1st of November off the northwest coast of Chile. ZS-1 Echo Romeo Zulu, running a 10-meter WISP beacon and launched on the 16th of August 2025, is on its 7th trip around the globe and was last heard on the 1st of November over the South Pacific Ocean, three-quarters of the way between Australia and South America. Keith, ZS6 Hotel India, is planning to have a bumper amateur radio tech talk on Zoom on the 26th of November. They are planning to discuss the last Baikal 13 flight, from the planning stages through the launch, flight and recovery of the payloads, and some of the data and videos from the payloads. I believe that this will be an extremely interesting session. Unfortunately, I have another meeting that I need to attend on that evening, but I'm already looking forward to seeing the recording that will be made. After a very successful TEP season, Bernie, ZS4 Tango X-ray, has collated and posted information on the Echo Alpha 6 Victor Quebec TEP webpage of all the stations that made TEP contacts between Africa and Europe. Here you can see the stations who made contact, their grid squares, height above sea level, power output and antenna details. Go to www.dxmaps.com/tepstations.html. Some really interesting information, and one needs to note that there are only 6 out of 22 stations that were using 1 kilowatt or more. The rest were 500 watts and less, and the antennas also varied a lot, with the number of elements determining the gain of the antennas. You will have heard on the SARL news for this week that there are at least 2 sets of meteor showers taking place in November. The first one, the Torrids meteor shower, is in this next week, on 4 and 5 November. The second one, the Leonids meteor shower, is peaking 17 and 18 November. The best time to observe the meteor showers is in the hour just before dawn. How about getting your 6-meter antennas dusted off and trying a bit of meteor scatter activity? To learn more about meteor scatter, take a look at the excellent YouTube video on the presentation that Derek, ZS5 Yankee, did some 2 months ago. The link to the video is www.youtube.com/watch?Yankee, Capital Yankee, 0, small Mike, Capital Juliet Tango, small Quebec Tango, Foxtrot, Capital Papa, 0. Here is an interesting project that allows you to scan and record multiple voice channels. This is especially useful when there is interference that you need to make recordings of. The project uses a RTL SCR dongle and some software. Take a look at the GitHub site, github.com/Sagen, and I spell that Sierra Hotel Alpha Juliet Echo November /STR-hub. There is also a TechMinds video review on YouTube at www.youtube.com/watch?SmallVictor=CapitalYankee, small Zulu, capital Quebec, Number 2, capital November, 0, Victor, small Kilo, capital Kilo, small Victor, capital Echo. That is all for this week. Apologies for a short program. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands, or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobza@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us at VHF News, allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 megahertz.
Thank you, Brian. And all these URLs that Brian so carefully spelled out can be found on the MZSA website, where you find a copy of Focus on VHF and Above later on this afternoon. Go to www.mzsa.org.za. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZS6SRO. We now go to Bloemfontein for the weekly HF report. Here is Dennis Green.
Good morning, Jatron. A lovely wet Bloemfontein where we've had some good rains with this week's edition of HF Update. And you'll find this report on https://mysarl.org.za/hf-update-with-ZS4PS-15. We firstly go to Malawi, where Chris ZS6 Romeo India has been active as 7 Quebec 5 Charlie from near Karonga in northern Malawi since 28 October. For the next year or two, he will be working there on a 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off rotation, with planned activity on 40 to 10 meters with 99% CW during his spare time. QSOs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World, QRZ Logbook and Clublog. Paper QSLs will not be issued. Then to Sierra Leone. Plans are for the Mediterraneo DX team to operate as 9 Lima 9 Lima from Banana Island, Iota Africa 037 between 2 and 5 November at the very least, with the possibility of continuing until 7 November if circumstances are favorable. Look for 9 Lima 9 Lima to be active on 40 to 6 meters. QSL is via Italy Kilo 2 Victor Uniform Charlie, and you will find the OQRS on www.qsohunter.net/echo-november/frame/430. Then to Morocco, where members of the Royal Association of Radio Amateurs of Morocco will be active on various bands and modes using the call sign Charlie November 50 Mike Sierra between 1 and 8 November. In addition, Moroccan amateurs can use the prefix 5 Charlie 50 during the same time frame with a QSL via the operator's instructions. The special call sign and prefix commemorates the 50th anniversary of the Marche Verte, or the Green March, a mass demonstration in support of the restoration of the Moroccan Sahara and the conclusion of the Spanish colonial rule. Algeria, Mohammed, 7X-ray 2 Victor Foxtrot Kilo, reports, to mark the 71st anniversary of the Algerian Revolution, the team will soon be active with a special call sign 7 Romeo 1 November on all bands during the month of November 2025 with QSL by the operator's instructions. Then to Benin, Red, Delta Lima 1 Bravo Uniform Golf will be active again as Tango Yankee 5 Foxtrot Romeo from Cotonou in Benin from 15 November to 11 December, and he operates CW and SSB on 80 to 10 meters, and this will include an entry in the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest at the end of the month. QSL via Delta Lima 1 Bravo Uniform Golf direct or using the Vero. QSLs uploaded to Clublog. Uganda, Anders Sierra Mike Zero Hotel Papa Lima will be active as 5 X-ray 7 Whiskey, pending call sign from Nalia in Kampala, a grid locator Kilo Juliet 60, between 14 November and 8 December as time permits. Activity will be on 80 to 10 meters using CW digital modes, and he will be using a Elicraft K2 and a QRP Labs QDX/QMX into a Rybakov vertical at the top of the fourth floor roof, also a Caroline Wyndham, and a 41 meter long wire. He plans to be active in the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest 29 and 30 November as a single op all band QRP entry. QSL is via Mike Zero Oscar X-ray Oscar, Clublog's QRS, Logbook Google QRZ, and EQSL. You will use Clublog's live stream, and you'll find more information on QRZ.com for 5 X-ray 7 Whiskey. Then to the Central African Republic, Darek Tango Juliet 1 Golf Delta announced that beginning 1 November 2025, he will be active regularly as Tango Lima 8 Golf Delta on the HF bands using SSB CW digital modes. Stay tuned and listen out for Tango Lima 8 Golf Delta on the bands. More information will be found on QRZ.com for Tango Juliet 1 Golf Delta. QSL is via Sierra Papa 3 Echo Delta Lima direct for paper QSOs, or QSLs rather. The QSL manager is Sierra Papa 5 Mike X-ray Whiskey for Clublog's OQRS or Logbook of the World, and he asks that you do not send QSL cards via email. And then we go to France. To mark the 60th anniversary since the first French satellite, named Asterix, was launched into orbit on 26 November 1965, members of the Wingless Radio Club will be active as Tango Mike 60 Alpha Tango X-ray on Fridays and Saturdays between 14 November and 13 December, and also on the period 19 to 23 December. All SSB and CW QSOs will be confirmed automatically via the Bureau, with the digital QSOs confirmed via EQSL. Then across the Atlantic to Canada, where Mike Victor Echo 2 X-ray Bravo will be active as Victor Yankee 0 Zulu Oscar Oscar from Iqaluit on Baffin Island, IOTA North America 047, between 2 and 7 November. Look for him around 14032 and 7032 kHz with QSL direct to the home call. Then he will go to Nauru Yat, formerly known as Repulse Bay, a hamlet located exactly on the Arctic Circle on the shores of Hudson Bay in mainland Canada. Then down to South America, we go to Guyana. Papa Yankee 1 Sierra Alpha Delta is active again as 8 Romeo 1 Tango Mike from Guyana from 29 October to 7 December. He operates CW, SSB and digital modes on 160 to 6 meters, typically between 23 UTC and 2 UTC, and longer over the weekends. QSL via Logbook at World, EQSL, QRZ Logbook, or direct to Papa Yankee 1 Sierra Alpha Delta. Colombia, 5 Juliet 4 Whiskey is the call sign. Papa Yankee 8 Whiskey Whiskey's IOTA the expedition to Playa Blanca Island, South America 084. Is using. They expect to be active around 20 hours UTC on 12 November and operate SSB, CW and digital modes on 80 to 10 meters until 16 or 17 November. QSL is via Clublog's OQRS. And we end off this week with a visit to Chile. 3 Golf 9 Sierra, Charlie Bravo 9 November, and X-ray Romeo 9 November are the special call signs for a de-expedition to the Isle of Navarino, South America 050, which is scheduled to take place between 10 and 17 January 2026. 3 Golf 9 Sierra is the main call sign operated on site by Charlie Echo 2 Papa Mike and Charlie Echo 2 Golf Tango on 426 meters using SSB CW Digital. They will possibly also be active on 160 and 80 meters. Charlie Bravo 9 November will be operated remotely by Kilo India 2 Delta, while X-Ray Romeo 9 November is only test early visit to the island if it is possible and during the trip. QSLs are via Clublog's OQRS, and for all the information, pay a visit to https://3golf9sierra.org. And that's all this week. That's from Dennis, ZS4 Bravo Sierra for Amateur Radio Today.
Thank you there to Dennis for his HF report. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. You've heard the announcement earlier in today's program on SRL News about the SRL Technical Symposium on the 11th of April 2026. And our aim today is to invite you to share with the listeners the various projects that you may have worked on and you've had some success with. The problem with amateur radio is that we do many things, but we so often just hide it. We don't talk about it. And here's an opportunity for you to share some interesting projects that you've been involved with the participants in the SRL Technical Symposium. So take our call for paper seriously and communicate with us and let us know what you can present. Well, the program is a little shorter today, but I'd like to say thank you to all our contributors and to, of course, our relay stations and to you, our listeners. We'll be back next Sunday with another edition of Amateur Radio Today. Until then, 73, stay safe. Stay well.